little bit louder.
Well, last week we talked about walking in the will of God, and we talked about finding the will of God, and the subtitle was kind of where to begin, and we just kind of went over some of the simple places that you can begin in that. And my title this morning is Walking in the Will of God, the Adventure of Faith, and it's sort of in a way part two of last week's part one that we had. And last week I talked about the four keys to walking in the will of God, and that was out of Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And we talked about how you need to know the word. There's that phrase, that spiritual wisdom and understanding that we desire. And we said that, you know, God will not show you his unrevealed will until we're already walking in his revealed will that we already have. And so start with his revealed will, and then he will begin to open up his unrevealed will. We said that the wrong question to start with is, what is God's will for my life? That's the wrong question to start with anyway. The right question to start with is just, what is God's will, period? And just learn what his will is, begin to walk in that, because so much of that is already revealed to us through his word and through his spirit. So we talked about knowing the word, and then we talked about knowing the importance of prayer. We talked about, again, that spiritual wisdom and understanding, and prayer kind of tenderizes the relationship then that we have with the Lord and through the scriptures, that it's not only about what we know, but it's also about the actual relationship we have with the Father through the Son by the Spirit, and that God actually speaks to us in different ways. We talked about knowing how to live or to walk, this phrase, walk worthy of the Lord. And then we talked about knowing how to grow, increasing in the knowledge of God, as Colossians tells us. And then talked about the two things to remember, your source of strength and your testimony. Were we able to... Can you hear me? Okay. So a basic summary is I just kind of tried to make a case and emphasize that the most important thing is the kind of person you are becoming, more than exactly what you do. And this morning I want to kind of extend the conversation from last week a bit into looking into what that journey of walking in the will of God might look like then as you begin to do these things that we talked about, as you daily hear from him in his word, as you commune with the Lord through prayer, as you increase in your knowledge of him, as you kind of give all of your life, you walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. And I think what you'll find is that as you begin to do these things and walk in his will, is that the life of faith that the Spirit begins to invite you into is a life of adventure. That it's a life of sort of the unknown, and that the Holy Spirit continues to challenge us deeper at every turn as we begin to walk in his will. And so my title this morning, Walking in the Will of God, the Adventure of Faith. And I want to talk about embracing that adventure of walking in his will. And then maybe give some examples from Abram's life of what that might look like. And then I'm going to share just some personal stories as well this morning. And the message is a little different maybe than a normal one. The last 2 weeks we really went verse by verse through these couple sections in Colossians there, and went deep into those texts and kind of had an outline based on those texts. This morning's a little more open, kind of just maybe putting some material out there and then seeing where the Spirit of God might be speaking to you, might be speaking to us as a congregation. So you'll notice there's actually no outline on the back of your bulletin. That's very rare for me. But maybe it just kind of reflects the messiness, the unknownness of walking in the will of God, this adventure of faith, sort of where it goes, where it leads to. That it's a bit open-ended where it might go. So I hope that you can handle that, not having the outline before you. But let's start with Abraham, a man in the Bible who just had an incredible, incredible journey of faith. So looking at the first four verses, says that the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. So when you come to the Lord and you're seeking his will, do you come like this? Do you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to do it? Who do you want me to involve along the way? And Lord, if you could, would you mind just kind of telling me the outcome before I say yes? And Lord, if you do all that, then sure, I'll go if I kind of know what to expect. Often we do kind of come to the Lord that way. But the way that often it happens is that we come to the Lord and we should probably say, Lord, just show me what to do one step at a time and I will go. I will do it. And that's what we find that Abram did. God said to Abram, go. And Abram went, not even knowing where he was going. What does the text say? It says, the Lord says, to the land I will show you. I mean, so if I'm Abram, I'm kind of like, why don't you maybe just give me a hint? Is this a nice land? Am I going to enjoy this? What kind of people are there? Are they going to be friendly? You know, that sort of thing, right? He probably wanted a little bit more information. But the Lord says, I will show you. But he basically gave him the first step was just go to that land. I kind of think of our own life and our own story in that basically we just heard the Lord say, go. To come here. And I've shared that story before. Basically, the Lord really spoke to Hannah, and she basically heard the voice of the Lord say go. And we didn't have all the reasons why. We didn't know, all the kind of thing. We didn't come and kind of sit in the back for 4 months and kind of, see, I don't know, are we going to like these people or not? What's it like here? We heard the voice say go. And sometimes you just have to go. You just have to take that step of faith when you know that you've heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord didn't say to us, go and, I will build a church of 502 years, right? I mean, we didn't have any kind of promises necessarily attached to it. You just go and maybe he will and maybe he won't. The point is you stay faithful to what God has called you to do and where he's called you to go. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 7, there's an interesting kind of parallel where Stephen is recounting the history of his people, and particularly this story of Abram. If you remember, it's Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin before he's about to be martyred. And it says, starting in chapter 7, that then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? To this he replied, and now he begins to tell the narrative of Israel. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you, what we just read. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. So sometimes God promises something and he speaks to us about something that basically seems impossible. Because at that time, Abraham didn't even have any children and it didn't look good for the future that he was going to have any children. But it says that Abraham went, even though he didn't have really what he needed to fulfill the promise, he still went. And sometimes God calls us to do something and we don't even have or possess what we think we would need to accomplish what he calls you to do. And honestly, that's usually a sign that you're probably in the right place, that you're probably doing something that God's calling you to do, that you're maybe in the will of God. If it looks impossible, then God is probably saying you're right where you need to be. You're right where I want you to be, where only God can accomplish what needs to happen. at last year's ministers' seminar, the winter seminar in Fort Langley. It was just 2 weeks before we were about to come here and preach and be voted on and all that kind of stuff. And so that was fresh in our hearts. And Brent Cantalone, one of the pastors who's been in our district a long time, he gave a great message that was talking to pastors but really applies to everyone who wants to kind of live the life of faith. And his three points were this. He said that, number one, you know, in God's economy and when God calls you to do things, every place is a hard place. That basically there's no easy place that God will ever call you to go or easy tasks that he'll ever call you to do, that every place is a spiritual battle. You know, whether you're in a small town, a big town, an urban environment, a rural environment, you know, a young population, an elderly population, the spiritual battle is always there. And he said that every place takes faith and courage. Everywhere God calls us to takes faith and courage. Number two, he said, no one ever feels qualified. So if you don't feel qualified, that's fine to whatever it is that God's calling you to do, because no one ever feels qualified. I never feel qualified to do what we're doing. It always feels way beyond me, and I know that Hannah feels the same way. You know, all of us are called to step out in faith even when we don't feel ready. And whatever you're doing in your life, whatever, you know, ministries that you're involved in or things that you're stepping out in faith, I hope that they're outside of your comfort zone a little bit, because if we're only staying in what's comfortable, then we're not really leaning and relying on the Lord. And then number three, he said that the equipping of the Holy Spirit comes in the moment of action often, not before. And I do find that sometimes to be true, that sometimes you have to step out in faith, and then God meets you in that act of faith, and then he begins to equip you now as you step out. That you can't always wait until you feel ready or wait until you feel God has equipped you. Yes, there's times for preparation and equipping and that sort of stuff, but sometimes you just have to kind of go out, and then the Holy Spirit comes and meets us where we are. So the life of faith, it's an adventure. You know, if you want to live in the will of God, you kind of get ready, right? It's a bit of the beauty of the unknown. It's a lot of fun, but it is the unknown as God is now in control. And you know what? I think that in the depths of our hearts, I think we all really long for a life of faith, right? We all really long to step out in faith, to have the adventure in front of us that God's calling us. We want to be used in a way that's beyond our natural abilities, right? I mean, we want that in our lives. We want to kind of see what God can do. And yet, often we do hold back because that fear does begin to creep in, right? We're kind of like the boat, and we're longing for the sea, and that's what we were made for and designed for. And yet, we're kind of afraid to just launch out into the unknown that is before us. Oswald Chambers, a great kind of devotional writer, says that to be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all our ways. So we are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God. So the life of faith, it's sort of a journey that is discovered. It's not just decided all at one time. And the discovery deepens every time you step out in faith when God is calling you into new things. So chances are, I hope, at least, that there's some sort of passions in your heart, and maybe you're already involved in them in your daily work. And all of us, there's calling upon us, even in the ordinary things that we do each day. And there's probably things that are in your heart that God's put in there that he's calling you to do or that you're already doing. But you know, you kind of need to begin to step out in faith and begin to sometimes try and just kind of see where it goes, and sometimes maybe even fail. Sometimes we hear wrong, but that's okay. But you got to just be a little bit adventurous sometimes. And you know, just for me personally, it took some steps of faith in the beginning of my Christian walk to start to begin to realize. It was sort of slowly discovered that God was calling me into what he was to teach and preach his word, to pastor people. I remember you know, one moment where I had been a Christian for a little under 2 years. I had just graduated high school and signed up to go on this trip to Nicaragua in Central America, and went with a team of people. And we would go around to the different schools and do a kind of a big assembly presentation and lots of fun stuff and dramas and stuff. And then we would share the gospel message with the students there. And the youth pastor would always share the gospel message and kind of, you know, he was a great evangelist, really had a gift for that. And we're literally on the bus to the next school that we're going to. And we're just about 5 minutes away. And he turns around, I was sitting behind him, he says, "Hey, why don't you share the gospel message at the next place?" And it's kind of like, you know, he's been doing all of them, right? And he does them very well. And I'm just 19 years old. And you have a translator and there's, you know, all that kind of stuff at place. And I'm just kind of like, okay. And if you know me, you know, like, I mean, I love to have notes. I like to be prepared. I like my outline. I mean, every conversation I go into, I usually have my talking points or whatever. So it's kind of, I had none of that. So, you know, sort of slowly thinking, all right, you know, make sure you talk about Jesus. We'll got to make sure we do that when we get there. What else can I say? Sort of kind of thing. And I had never really done anything big like that before. But as I, you know, just said yes and stepped out in faith and just praying, and man, as I got up there that time and we did the dramas and I went up to share the gospel and just stepping out in faith and trying something it was the most unbelievable feeling I had almost ever had. Where as I'm doing it, I kind of thought, this is what I'm designed to do. You know, and it was just the Spirit of God just came upon me and I just had all the words to say and I was filled with joy and passion and, you know, all these sorts of things. And I always kind of go back to that one moment actually when I kind of tell my story of my call, which you always have to do early on when you're working through ordination and kind of stuff like that. They ask you these kind of questions. That's as really one of the moments that I could point to where I said, that's where I really knew what I was called to do. But if I hadn't stepped out and given it a try, I might have never known that that was one of the things God's calling me to do. Another similar story like that was just when I was also 19 at that age, before going away to school. Somebody had asked me once to cover for them to speak at a chapel service at Teen Challenge. And don't let the name fool you. Teen Challenge is actually, there's hardly ever any teens. You have to be 18 to get into the program. It's mostly people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that are going through drug rehab and drug addiction. And I know there used to be one on Vancouver Island that the church supported for a while. I don't think it's here anymore. So I walk into this room, and I didn't know much about Teen Challenge, and I walk into this room and realize I'm the youngest person here, and these are people that are pretty rough around the edges, right? And this is just outside of an urban area, so I mean, these are people that have been through some tough things in life, they've left their families to enter into this program, and I'm, you know, going to get up and speak before them. But make a long story short, I did it that week, and they invited me to come back again. I ended up going, being a weekly speaker, went there every single week to speak at their chapel services, and, you know, I was always the youngest person preaching to all these older people that have been through so many more things in life than I had. But you begin to just sort of step out. So we don't always maybe worry about how, right? That's God's job. We worry about what is it that he's calling me to do. And we begin to step out. What's written on your heart? What dreams is the Lord putting on your heart? Maybe it's to, you know, all kinds of things you can think of. Maybe he's calling you to be a greater influence in your grandchildren's life, and you feel like you don't see how that's possible or what you can do, but just kind of start with what the Lord's putting on your heart. You know, that faith, it never knows where it's being led. But the thing about faith is you can go there as long as you love and you know the one who is leading you. And that's why last week's message, you got to start with that, right? When you love and you know the one who's leading you, you know the word, you know prayer, you're walking in his will, you're increasing in knowledge. When you know that, then you can be led anywhere because you know the one who's leading you. And there's confidence as you go forward. So let me just throw a couple things out there that, you know, could be possible just to kind of give examples of things more on a corporate level, you know, in our church. And I'm not saying the Lord has spoken these things or anything like that, but they're just kind of ideas that I don't think are necessarily for Hannah and I to launch, but I think that God is eventually going to call, raise up, and empower people to step out in faith. Again, not that I've received any words from the Lord or anything, but it's not hard to realize that we have this big kitchen, awesome kitchen here, right? We all kind of know that. And of course, eventually, the Lord is going to call us to use that, not just for our own selves, but to bless the community. So I know that God is eventually going to put it on somebody's heart to figure out what exactly we can do, to how we can bless our community, to how we can feed people who perhaps need a meal. And it would take a step of faith, right? Because you would really only know the first step, which would probably be you'd have to do some research and figure out what is the need that needs to be met. Where would we not be overlapping and competing with other service organizations? Is there a night where there's a meal that's needed or something like that? You'd have to kind of take those first initial steps of doing that, and Hannah and I would walk alongside people and equip them, but it would maybe be the dream that God puts in your heart. And then God will raise up people to help support that vision. Kind of the, some of you are really called more to be the helpers, and you love to kind of come alongside, and you love to do the behind the scenes. Some people are called to be more the out front, and they kind of lead the way. But I think if we're listening and we're hearing, eventually God is going to speak to someone, and there's going to be something that comes from that. But it would involve taking some steps of faith, doing some other things, starting kind of at step one. As I've said many, many times, right, we think big, but we start small. That's just the way of the kingdom. That's the way the Lord works. So always have the big in mind, but we have to start somewhere small. Perhaps as a part of that, I kind of dream, but I don't think it's going to be me or Hannah that gets it off the ground, of, you know, having some sort of community garden kind of behind us. We have the space for it, and maybe that helps fuel the kitchen, or that's some of the fresh, healthy food that we can give away to people. But it would take some time and effort and money. It would take someone that has the vision and the faith to step out and to begin to do that. But it's within the realm of possibility. And yeah, we'd have to have conversation and work together, but the Lord might be calling somebody to put that passion in their heart that's willing to step out in faith. And there are other things, you know, that I can talk about. I think, you know, eventually there'll be some sort of, you know, baby toddler kind of playtime in here during the week, because we have this nice open facility that would just be great for parents to interact and meet and play and do those sorts of things. And maybe somebody has that on their heart. I really see us as a local house of prayer more and more as we move forward, that this is a place where people would come to be refreshed in their vision. And maybe they're not even a part of our church, but maybe they come just to visit because they're encountering God at our weekly prayer meeting at that point, or whatever it might be. Who knows? But it will take stepping out in faith. And so maybe these aren't the main things on the Lord's agenda for us right now. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Could be down the road. My point is, He's always calling us to step out in faith. He's always calling us to dream and to think new things, because He loves people. And because God loves people, He's always raising up His people to bless other people. And we'll see that that's the point of what God did with Abram in the text in just a second. So He's calling us to step out in faith. And some of us, maybe just, you know, all these things obviously would take then financial support off, and maybe just calling you to step out in faith in that way. We had dinner with Ari and Nelly on Thursday at their house, and just neat to hear the story about how, you know, when they became new Christians, Ari went to church one day and came home and said, yeah, I guess I heard this thing, like, we're supposed to give 10% of our income. Didn't really know that. And so I guess we don't know how we're going to do it. Doesn't seem feasible, but we're going to do it. You know, and they just kind of stepped out in faith, and God met them at that moment of faith. And lots of you could give similar stories. That's often the way it works. So just a warning, though, as you begin to step out of faith, is that we have to maintain, and you have to maintain a godly vision of what He's calling you to do. That make sure it comes from Him and His ideas of what needs to happen. Because when we lose sight of God, then that's when we kind of become reckless, right? When we cast off praying and we cast off being in His Word and really listening to His Spirit, both personally and corporately together, then we lose the vision of God in the little things. We begin to act on our own initiative, and that's when it begins to feel different. You'll notice in these first couple verses, God is the one doing the work. Abraham is the one being obedient and stepping out in faith. But God is actually the one casting the vision. It's an other-centered vision. So I want to kind of move toward the end by emphasizing that the purpose of why God was calling Abram to step out in faith was not for his own name, but was to bless others. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Some of this material I'm just taking from a little blog I wrote up a couple years ago that, because I was watching TV, and I did something that I rarely ever do. I stopped on one of the Christian stations and just kind of started listening to the preacher. And he was actually talking about this very well-known text in Genesis 12. Genesis 12 is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible, where kind of God begins his plan of redemption. And to my amazement, the pastor actually left out the most important part of this passage. He was talking about the point, and when he read the verse, this point, "I will bless you and make your name great." And he stopped there. And he used kind of some more contemporary translation, said something like, "I will make you famous and distinguish your name." And then he just went on from that to talk about how God wants to bless you. He wants to make your name great. He wants to, you know, do all these things. And then he gave stories about people who followed God, saw their careers advance, and become distinguished among their peers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, that kind of teaching can be all too common in the church, and people are often eager to receive it. But yes, it's true, God wants to bless you and bless us, but why does he want to bless us? Well, the Genesis passage makes it clear, the part that was left out of the message I was watching on TV, "so that you will be a blessing," it says, "and all the people of the earth shall be blessed through you." I mean, what a different perspective all of a sudden the passage brings when you finish the verses. That we are not blessed just so our name can be great and distinguished. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. And it's really the testimony of the entire Bible. From Abram on, God unfolds his plan to bless the nations through his people whom he blesses so that they can be a blessing. So we should be thinking, how can we use the gifts God has given us, the ways he has blessed us, then to bless others? The skills, the passions, the dreams that are on your hearts, they're all connected to God's love for other people. So if you're gifted in the area of finance or whatever it is, it's not just for your own name and fame. It's so that you may bless others. If you're gifted with working with your hands, it's not only for you, but it's so that you can bless others. If you're gifted in art or you're an artist, it's so that you can bless others. All the things that you can think of. If you're an entrepreneur, it's not just for yourself, but so that you can bless others as well and be a part of God's kingdom on earth. And the times when God gets really upset with Israel in the Old Testament is always when they miss that part of it, right? Sometimes Israel got caught up and God wants to bless us. He wants to make our name great. It's, you know, we're his people and kind of that sort of thing. And God's always bringing them back and reminding them and saying, you know, I chose you, and I did it so that you can be a blessing to the nations, right? He's always reminding them, and when they forget that part, that's when God gets really upset with Israel. When we live by the teaching that God just wants to make our name great for our own sakes, then honestly, we become guilty of idolatry, because now we've just formed a God in our own image of what we want God to be like, and that, of course, is one of the most dangerous sins we can be involved in. So think about what gifts, talents God has blessed you with, how he wants you to use those to be a blessing, and what that might look like. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Often sometimes the places God lays things on our heart, that he lays, you know, dreams, is just, sometimes it's in a context of prayer, of worship, where we're just listening to the voice of the Lord, where we're just opening our hearts. And if nothing else, the Bible tells us that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we're just always in a good place when we're seeking him. Maybe we're just preparing our hearts so that at a later time God will speak to us or whatever it might be. But I can think about some significant moments in my life that just happened in moments like this. At the end of a service, and we're just singing, and I was praying and taking some time to listen and reflect, and God would put a dream or something in my heart, or just a thought in my heart that seemed beyond me, right? Like, I don't know about that, Lord, you know? But where you just hear the go, essentially, maybe not to an actual place, but you just hear the go forward with this vision, and you just go. And God just begins to kind of take it from there and begins to move from there. And so we're just going to create some time where that's possible to happen. That, you know, I really long for us to be a church, and in fact, we have to be, if we're going to really be moving forward with God, to be a church of adventurous disciples for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, young or old or in between or working or retired, that God is always doing new things in our hearts. He's always calling us to new adventures and calling us into the unknown, the journey of faith, the life of faith. We're like Abram. We hear the Lord say, go, and we take that first step, hearing him say, I will show you as you go forward. Even when we realize that, like Abraham, even though we had no children, even though we don't feel like we have the things we need at this time, that God will equip us as we move forward and as we step out in faith. So we're going to take a little